Welcome to the Just Breathe podcast featuring inspirational people. I'm Valerie Smaldone. Claudia Roth is a woman who has many talents. In business, she was an executive in a hospitality company, jetting all over the world. Luxury hospitality was her life. She was a vice president for the leading hotels of the world, known for the largest luxury hotel collection across 75 countries. Claudia was at the height of her career as a senior executive when a business trip took her to India, and she found that her purpose changed dramatically. Now she has her own company, Soul Luxury, and writes a column for Just Breathe magazine with articles like Why I've Decided to Come Out of the Spiritual Closet. Claudia, first of all, that article is amazing. I'd like to know about your previous life in the hotel business. Let's start with that.
Thank you, Valerie. It's a pleasure speaking to you. Well, leading hotels of the world, it was really an extraordinary career, an extraordinary experience. I had the pleasure of 10 years of really fulfilling my dream in terms of being at the heights of the career, as I call it, the red carpet time. I say this now very fondly, but there is a reason for it. I was running leading hotels of the world. I was in charge for about 300 hotels, the best of the best. One day, a business trip took me to the beautiful Ritz in Paris, Place de Vendôme. And again, when I was arriving in hotels, I was always treated with beautiful rooms, suites, and the best of the best hospitality because of the role of myself and my team. And I remember after a very busy day, I went to the room. The suite actually had a beautiful sauna, and I treated myself to a sauna. Then I went to bed, but my bedtime was always finishing off with doing another round of emails. And that was on my BlackBerry. And I went to bed. I had my BlackBerry next to it because I needed to send another couple of messages because of time differences, which I did. The next morning I woke up, and it was a life-changing moment in my career. I went to the bathroom, and this beautiful big bathroom with this double sink and this beautiful big mirror, and I looked into the mirror, and somebody else was staring at me. I could see an imprint of my BlackBerry on my cheek, and it just disturbed me because I suddenly realized, I was then looking out of the window, and I realized that something had shifted outside, but still nothing had changed inside. And I felt suddenly an urge of nothing made any sense anymore. But that was a moment, a second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds. And then obviously you just ignore that moment and you continue running around, chatting around the world and continue doing your business. However, nothing stay the same anymore.
So you're telling me that the imprint of the BlackBerry forced you to look at yourself and say, this is not quite working for me.
Exactly. It was a subtle hint that I suddenly realized, actually, I loved what I did, but an emptiness from within was becoming more and more prominent. It was just creeping in ever so gently during my days. It's almost like something knocking on your door very softly. Mm-hmm. You hear it, you don't hear it, you don't want to hear it, you hear it. It's that kind of energy. You know that something wants to get your attention, but you actually don't want to hear it because you know that something is wants to change, but actually you're not ready to do anything about it.
That's a really great way of describing that sort of new calling. And so what happened when you went to India on a business trip for a luxury business trip? Something did happen that transformed you.
Yes. Yeah. That was then a few years later. Leading Hotels of the World has an annual convention where all the hoteliers from around the world are coming together, and we went to India. By that time, I hadn't been to India, actually, and normally I would never do this, but on this occasion, I decided to add a little vacation. And I said to my husband, why don't I do my business and then you come out and we do a little, we travel around India. Now, knowing that India has got so much to offer, I went to see my colleague, at the time a client of mine, and I said, Subhash, can you create an itinerary for me and for my husband, Willie? We would like to explore India. We want to see everything. Obviously, India is a bit bigger than just 2 weeks. Anyway, Subhash created an itinerary for us, and I remember there was a destination was added to the itinerary, Pondicherry. And Pondicherry, I had never heard of. I hadn't even time to research. I showed the itinerary to my husband, and my husband said, why are we going to Pondicherry? I said, I have no idea. Just trust that Pondicherry is the right place for us to go. So we went. I went to the business, to the conference in Delhi, and it was amazing experience. Indian hospitality is beyond words. We had keynote speaker like Kenzo, the designer. The Dalai Lama was speaking to us. It was absolutely amazing. The whole environment was out of this world. So from that sort of high of luxury at this highest sense, so to say, we start our vacation. We flew to Chennai and continued to Pondicherry. The next day, my friend, colleague, client, Subhash, organized, set up a meeting for me. I remember 10 o'clock in the morning, and I thought I was going to sell a luxury something. I had no idea why I even had to go on to that meeting. But I did, because I trusted that there's some business to do. So I went to that place where the meeting was, and I knocked on the door, and somebody opened. It was all a bit weird, different atmosphere. Everything was just different. And I thought, okay. We're in India, so I accepted that this was part of that difference. And then a gentleman arrived into the room. He sat there, and he's kind. He spoke so beautifully, kindly. How are you? And no aggressiveness, no ego, no nothing. I couldn't quite work out. I thought it was very strange, because you there is a certain etiquette in business. You know, everybody wants to show their position. I didn't even know how to communicate as such. I realized that this is not a normal business meeting. And then when Vijaybhai, that's a gentleman, made me understand that he's the chairman of the Sri Aurobindo Ashram, I suddenly realized that this is not a business meeting. And then he started to ask questions. And the first questions, I will never forget that, is, what is the purpose in your life? And at that time, all I could say, the purpose in my life is my career. But I knew that this was not the right answer. And I remember I was really sort of taken by that. I said, well, I'm a very good taxpayer. And I realized that these all stupid words I'm saying. But I was like, the whole atmosphere, the whole questioning made me understand that something is wrong in my understanding of what my purpose in life is. And that questions just stayed with me even now.
That's a fascinating question. And the fact that you knew as you were about to answer, it didn't make sense in the scheme of life. And you came out with, I'm a good taxpayer, which is a great answer, but I'm sure not what he was looking for. How did this shift, when you started to really take in the experience that you were having, how did this shift start to change for you as a businesswoman, as somebody that was so connected to the business world? Because this was your life. How did you start to change, Claudia?
That's a very, very good question. These questions sort of like, you know, stayed again in the background. And there were four questions. I just would like to share that, because it was sort of like, does my life have a purpose? What is the highest I'm capable of? How can I contribute to making the world a better place? And where and what is my path in all of this? So this was sort of the context. And again, I had no understanding of, I couldn't answer. So Claudia continued her vacation, and Claudia continued the rat race. I was really just pursuing my career, because that was the easiest, inverted commas, And somehow I knew that I didn't want to give too much attention to this question, so to say, because I knew that behind this question is something much more profound. So I continued running on the fast lane until another turning point happened. Essentially, I was called, inverted commas, back to Pondicherry, but this time to a nearby spiritual community called Auroville. Auroville is a spiritual community, about 4,000 or 5,000 people from around the world live and work there. And the aspiration is to live in alignment with the divine, in essence, human unity, more generally said. And Claudia wanted to write a book. And don't ask me why I want to write a book, but I want to write a book. Claudia wanted to explore combining her business skills. And by now I had developed some interest in, let's call it, spirituality, but I had very little understanding about spirituality. So I thought, with my business hat on, okay, I know enough about business. I just go to the source where people live in that understanding of spiritual essence. I interview a couple of people and then I put a book together. Mm-hmm. Now, I remember I put in kind of a message in the community newsletter saying that what my intention is, and a couple of Orwellians, those people who live there, responded, amongst one person, a gentleman called Vijay. And we had a couple of email exchanges, and Vijay said to me that he has got no understanding about luxury, but he definitely is leading the spiritual path and he can help me. So Claudia decided she booked a trip and went down to back to Auroville, and still in that business mood, white trousers, I remember that, high heel shoes and my pearl necklace still on, still wearing, with my nails with red polish. And I ordered a taxi and I said to the taxi driver, can you please take me to Vijay? He lives in the forest near there and there. I had no idea where I was going. Nobody knew that I was going. I suddenly thought to myself, what am I doing? We went deeper and deeper into the forest. And suddenly I realized, no telephone connection. I hadn't told anybody. I thought, what am I doing? Anyway, Claudia got out of the car. And the first thing is, it was rainy season. She went straight into the mud, my whole trousers full of, it was quite a funny scene, because here I was holding up a self-image, mm-hmm. Which totally immediately, as I was sort of setting foot into this new world, it was totally taking away from me. So I walked further into the forest. I had no idea where I was going. I told the taxi driver, please, stay here, because I felt that was the only thing I had to hold on. I had no idea what to expect. I walked further into the forest, and suddenly I saw a house, and I was calling, it's Claudia, it's Claudia. I felt so out of place. And then a man came out, grayish hair. I said, oh, Claudia, welcome. And I remember he said, please come in. And I wanted to keep the door open because I was afraid going inside. I was like, I realized nobody had any idea what I was doing. And I felt really, really very exposed. But anyway, I remember I wanted to close the door behind me, but he closed it. In hindsight, I know why, because in there's a lot of insects. So it was a natural way. But I thought, oh my God, I'm now inside somebody's house. I can't get out. So it was a very, very difficult time for me, because I was totally out of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't understand anything anymore. But what happened was, then we talked, and I couldn't even relate to him, because the way of communication was so different to what I'm used to in business. You know, in business, everybody wants to prove him or herself and create an image around oneself. And this man was just so open. And then suddenly he had a couple of sentences which really made me understand that everything I was, who I am, is based on the self-image I created for myself, i.e. successful businesswoman, strong, whatever the words are. And that moment, my world collapsed.
When you left his house in the forest, was it a new Claudia that walked out the door?
No. It was a Claudia totally lost. Nothing made any sense anymore.
How did you find your track? How did you decide, I need to explore further and find my way? Because in this world of confusion, you have to fight your way out.
Yeah, and it didn't get better, it got worse. What I couldn't understand is, even though we had this that exchange, what he said, I couldn't even understand, I couldn't even comprehend. I could only feel something. And that new awareness, which was created, and I didn't even understand concept of awareness and consciousness and all of that, but I felt something. So I was obviously open for that new way of being, or something was opened, that I saw myself going back the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And the more I embraced some new concepts, the more I got confused. So the confusion only got worse.
I know that things changed for the better for you, because I think you've worked out the confusion. How long would you say it took you to really start to find a path, to start to find a practice? Did you finally say, I need to leave my job and my career in order for this to happen?
That is interesting, because it was a process, Valerie. For me, it was not, I couldn't stop immediately. It was a process, because by then I knew that my self-image, my worth, my identity is directly linked to my job. And I knew the moment I was leaving, I would be leaving, I would be nobody. I knew that. And it was difficult to accept that. And it took some time. And then suddenly I realized, either the plunge now or never. And because my heart, my soul was open now, I needed to do it. So my soul, inverted commas, overrode fear, overrode pain. My soul wanted it.
I think what you said is very important. A lot of people have found themselves in that position, that they know whether they leave the job, the position on their own, or they're forced out by a company, mm-hmm. they know that their identity changes the minute mm-hmm. that they leave. And that is a frightening idea, because as you said, Claudia, you are completely bonded to the image of who you are through your work. That's your identity.
Yes. And I remember what happened then. That was only the start, Valerie, because I knew that I had to strip myself of everything who I thought I am. And in fact, I plunged deeply into the dark night of the soul. It's an expression where you are in a place of nowhere, nothing. You nothing makes sense anymore. Nothing. And actually, to be very honest, there were times I couldn't even deal with the real world. If I wouldn't have had such a wonderful husband to keep me, how do you say, on track, mm-hmm. I don't know where I would have been. It was the most difficult and emotionally, dark nights. That's why it's called the dark night of the soul. It was incredible.
Well, let's talk about where you are today, because that was a while ago. Sure. Today is a different Claudia. You have your own company. You are writing for Just Breathe magazine very honestly about your experiences. The article I mentioned earlier got a lot of attention. It's a great title, Why I Decided to Come Out of the Spiritual Closet. And let's talk a little bit about that article and what you determined was important for you to continue on this journey of self-discovery.
For me, this is the only priority now. And because I know what people go through now, and I understand the difficulties, I want to be open and share the vulnerability so that others feel encouraged to follow their heart and their soul. That's why we are here for. We are here to evolve to the highest expression of who we are. And that is different for different people. But to actually have the courage to to be vulnerable, to make changes, and actually honor that it may be difficult and complex and whatever the emotions are. And it's not to say that it is for everybody as complex. That's my story. Mm-hmm. You know, some other people may just say, okay, I finished this part of identity and I move into something else. That was my story. I think I had to go through it to actually be able to speak about it. So I understand the complexity of it. And I also understand how you get out of it. Because actually getting out of it is the most beautiful experience. It's the most soul-enriching experience, because what you learn through that, through the dark night, is that you are the creator of your reality. So now I understand that. And now I create the life I just adore. I feel I'm one with the richness of all of it. So the beauty is that through the darkness, you create light. Mm-hmm. And light, to live in light and to understand and to practice and to evolve in that energy, for me is a gift, is a privilege, is an honor, it's gratitude, all of these words. So I really want, with these articles, I want to encourage anybody to explore their own richness, their own journey, their own highest self.
I just would love a comparison. If you could describe the Claudia back then, pre-imprint of the blackberry on the cheek, to the Claudia now, what your daily life is like, how your spiritual journey created room for abundance in your life. And just paint a picture of then and now so we get a really stark contrast.
Oh, my God. this is 300, I would like to say 450% different, or degrees different. Of course, something that doesn't exist. Well, I mean, first of all, it starts with the fact that in the old days, I would wake up and rush out, get out of bed in rush. So mm-hmm. everything was rushed. Everything from the moment the alarm clock rang to the moment I went to bed. So now I set the alarm clock for 15 minutes before I have to get up. And in that 15 minutes, I connect with Source and start off to consciously pre-feel into my day. It was very difficult for me to actually do this because I was so conditioned to jump out of bed and, you know, get on, that it took some time to actually get into that habit. Now, I wouldn't do it without it, because for me, this is consciously creating what I want the day to be like. Because when you are in that transition, when you suddenly realize that you are the creator of your reality, then you understand that you need to take time to be in that field, yeah, that unified field, that field of all possibilities. You need to be in there. You have to create that energy to be in there so that you can create your day, because otherwise you just let things happen to you. Mm-hmm. So for me, this is very important. I then, after that 15 minutes of visualization and connecting to the field, I get up and start my meditation. Minimum 20 minutes. In the past, I wouldn't meditate. I would meditate in the evenings occasionally. I always did that. But now it's part of my morning routine. And the biggest thing is that very often during the day, and sometimes it works better than other times, I set the alarm every 2 hours or whatever. It depends on my day. And then I actually go 5 minutes into silence and just come back to the awareness of being here and now, because the day can go very fast and we can get really overwhelmed by our to-do list, because we are people who are driven, they want to do more and more and more. But what I'm learning, and I'm still learning, is actually do less and be more in the field of all possibilities, so to say, so that you can then be in alignment with your higher purpose. Mm-hmm. So I'm becoming much more aware of how I spend my time and be more rooted in myself, and that I try to extend more and more throughout the day. And that's, for me, is a practice, because, you know, sometimes the old me wants to come back and wants to rush off. And no, Claudia, please come back.
Yeah. I was going to ask that question if you find that that pops up every once in a while.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. And the conversation. And why are you doing this? And this is, you know, yes, of course, it pops up. But what is interesting is these phases of, let's call it negativity, or that phases of the inner voice, inner critic coming back becomes less because you develop techniques to deal with it.
It's a fascinating journey of a high-powered, on-the-go, jet-setting executive to somebody who has created a different life for herself through finding inner spirituality, inner peace, through intention, through being present at the moment, not thinking about what's next. It is absolutely something that so many people can understand or want to understand. And I hope you'll continue with these articles on Just Breathe as we learn more about you and your journey.
And as a journey has no end, hopefully, if it is meant to be, I will continue sharing.
Give me one word or sentence or phrase that really describes your life today, Claudia, where you are in the world, where you are professionally, personally, integratively. Where are you? Who are you today?
Work in progress. No, truly, because the moment you understand that life continues change, there is no point, there is no, that's it. It's a continuation. But what comes to mind to describe that sort of situation or feeling or place where I am, it's all about awareness. And I keep on saying awareness creates choice. And awareness is ever evolving. And that's the beauty of life. It's the more aware we become, the more choices we have, and the more we can be in alignment with who we are truly are.
Claudia Roth is still a businesswoman, but has created an entirely new life for herself, steeped in her own personal journey and relationship to spirituality, which she practices tangibly and on a daily basis. Claudia Roth's 28-Day Journey to Self-Love is a guided journal aimed at leading you to know who you truly are by using inspirational texts as well as 28 powerful and reflective assignments. Claudia continues to write for Just Breathe magazine and is also a founder of the annual Healing Summit, this year taking place in Portugal in May. For more information on Claudia's writing, go to justbreathemag.com and to her website, soul-luxury.com. I'm Valerie Smaldone.